Welcome to Scouts Out, an original science fiction story by A.A. Foringer, set in his Outfitters universe. All of the Outfitters universe stories are available in ebook format at smashwords.com. If you would like to support the author or read the story for yourself, please buy the book at smashwords.com.
Chapter 61. 10 minutes later, the crew was assembled at the airlock. Leah looked over their faces, dirty, sweaty, worn, but not beaten. No, definitely not beaten. They were all in their spacesuits, everyone but Winchester, Felix, Oscar. The latter were carrying the semi-conscious form of Corporal Kim from the Peace Quester, while Ensign Chavez stood close by looking wobbly. Fia was carrying a satchel full of what Leo could only guess were power units, along with his huge, custom-designed assault rifle. Flavius's mini-droids were perched on his head and shoulders like metallic parrots. Everyone else had as much ammo and weapons draped over them as they could carry, along with various bags and gear. Leo knew that underneath their suits, they were wearing body armor, and whatever else they could fit underneath the tight-fitting suits. Leo looked for Abe, who held a spool of monofilament cable. This was a connection for Larry, so that possibly, if he could, attack the computer of the anger, internally, before the lion was turned into scrap, and him along with it. "Larry, are we ready to go?" Leo asked, looking upward. "I am, Leo. How long do you want the destruct code set for?" The continuously calm voice of Larry came back. The room became silent and very still, and everyone looked towards him. Leo looked around and shrugged. "Make it contingent upon the speed of the anger. Say, 1 second before it reaches light speed." "Can do, Leo," Larry responded. "Good. That should give you the maximum amount of time to make a breach on the anger." Leo looked around at his crew, who had been silent during the whole exchange. "No time for an equipment check." There were a few chuckles at this, but they were sounded more forced than anything. "Sorry I got you guys into this. My fault. I got a little rambunctious and let things get away from me." Fear reached out and slapped Leo firmly, but rather gently, on the face. Leo stared at the big man, who smiled at him. "We did it 'cause you asked us to. Because it was the right thing to do. And because these bastards need to pay for what they did to a shipload of people looking for peace." If Leo hadn't seen it for himself, he never would have believed it, but he could have sworn the man was about to cry. Leo looked around and everyone else was nodding. "Besides, we ain't dead yet, and I can't wait to play with the engines on this thing," the big man smiled, punching Leo in the arm. "Let's do it," Packer stated. Leo looked around. There was still fire and steel in these men. They wanted to go inside the anger and meet some Malarians face to face. "Okay, Packer and Logan, take point. Yoshida, navigate. Abe, you with me in the rear. Let us move out, people." The warning lights started to go off on the ramp, warning them that the vacuum was about to suck the oxygen off the deck. Everyone flipped their face shields down, and Leo could feel the warm air start to circulate through his suit. The crew moved out of the ship the way they had many times before, weapons ready, heads up, and armed to the teeth. As Leo walked down the ramp, he could not feel anything but remorse. He was about to lose his ship, the thing he had lived on, in, and with for the last 3.5 years. This was worse than when he woke up and found he couldn't go home again. At least then, things were out of his control. This time, he had gotten them to this point, and it was his fault the ship would be gone very soon. As Leo walked down the ramp, Leo heard the faint sounds of Elvis's song, "Blue Suede Shoes," blast from the ship. This was Abe's contribution to the booby-trapping of the ship. If the Alarians had any sensor or scanners pointed at the ship, they would be getting an earful of the King of Rock and Roll. Leo looked around quickly. They had landed to the rear of the huge control portion of the ship and were currently facing it. "Packer, head about 300 meters in that direction. I noticed a maintenance airlock over there," Yoshida directed. "Got it." The crew moved along at an easy pace, among sensor arrays and scanner antenna, in a spread-out triangle with Packer at the point, Leo and Abe in the trail position, letting the spool of cable unwind as they went. A few minutes later, the crew had encircled the airlock. Flavius had his tools out and was working on the outlets, located next to the control panel that operated the airlock. What you got? This one is a communications hookup, this one power, and this one is a conduit for test information. Larry, which one do you want to try first? Working against the clock here, Captain Grant. I guess I'll try both the tester and the communications hookup. Abe hooked up the box with some assistance from Flavius. Leo and the crew waited for a few minutes. Larry's voice came back abruptly through Leo's headset. Leo, the anger is under attack. Yeah, Larry, I know. We are the ones attacking them, Leo said, hoping Larry was not starting to have a breakdown due to his impending destruction. No, Captain. I mean from someone other than us. The anger is fighting off an attack by multiple ships right now. Leo looked over to Abe, who was fiddling with his comm panel. It's true, Leo. What sensors we have working on the line say that 10 ships are currently attacking the anger. Well, who is it? Leo asked. The rest of the crew looking skyward, or spaceward, now. Don't know, but they are attacking the underside of the anger right now. Well, call them, Leo shouted. Then he turned to the rest of the crew. We are definitely not dead yet. A low rumble shook the deck underneath their feet. That was the Jaguar and the Panther, Packer said matter-of-factly. Larry, is the anger still accelerating? Leo asked. Negative. Should I be trying to invade the anger? Negative. Concentrate all your energies on the line, fixing what you can. Flavius, Abe, Fia, Winchester, Felix, Oscar, take Corporal Kim and Ensign Chavez back with you and fix the engines. I want to be able to leave as soon as possible. Oh yeah, shoot whatever you can on the way back and leave your explosives here. Rogers were echoed, and the five suits and the droids started back towards the lion. Holiday and Fundakowski, start to rig every surface you can with explosives. I want a big hole. Rig it for remote detonation and or 60 minutes. Packer and Logan, start circling left on the surface. Shoot anything that looks juicy. Yoshi and Moon, you guys start circling right and take out whatever you can. Verde and Finucci, you guys are with me. We got 50 minutes until takeoff. Let's go, people. Leo took off with Verde and Finucci flanking him. Leo headed away from the ship further and shooting at any sensor arrays, concentrating firepower on blaster turrets until they looked damaged, blowing up airlocks and blasting the interior doors, letting precious atmosphere bleed off into the vacuum. After about 20 minutes, Leo gave a call for the guys to turn around. They passed the location around the first airlock, and from what Leo could tell, the explosives charges were going to open up a big hole, large enough for a small shuttlecraft to fly into. As they approached, Leo saw Holiday and Fundakowski shooting sensor arrays around the ship. Then after a weapon was emptied, they would drop it in place and run back to the ship and grab another weapon and start firing again. Holiday was currently working on blowing a hole in the hull with a current barrage of needle blaster beam fire from the same place. Leo yelled over his intercom, "Just throw the weapons into a pile, and when you're done, throw a few on overload." The gunners looked around and nodded. Leo threw his own weapon into the pile. Then he ran up the ramp and circled through the airlock on the stairs. Not taking off his suit, he threw his helmet on the deck, making his way to the command deck where Abe was stationed in the pilot's chair. "Have you made contact with TAC Force yet?" Leo asked, settling into the co-pilot's chair. "Yeah, the commander is a captor rudder, codenamed Neptune, is in charge of it. They have 15 long-range reconnaissance ships and 28 sharks in it, and they expect 3 more ships any minute," Abe replied, not looking up. Leo activated the channel and heard a burst of static and then a clear voice. "Hello, Lion, what do you need?" A proper English accent shot out of the speaker. "Well, Neptune, this is King, and we are going to need an escort off the ship along with some shield protection if we are to get out of here in one piece." "You got it, Lion. Just as soon as the 3 fresh ships come in, I will send them right to you." "Thanks much, by the way. How are you guys doing against this big behemoth?" Rudder came back in a second. "Pretty good." Then Leo saw sparks fly over the man's shoulders, then to someone Leo couldn't see. "Hey, I thought you said you'd fix that, Pano." Then he turned towards the screen. "Oi, Lion, sorry, we just took a minor hit. But to answer your question, the anger is dying the death of 1,000 cuts. And almost all the offensive weapons are gone, and 50% of the defensive weapons. And its engines, well, thanks to you all, the only way this guy could get back to his home would be to stick out some oars and start rowing." Leo smiled. "That's great. We'll be here until you send those ships in to get us out. By the way, where is he?" "Give me a second, I'll give you a signal." "Roger, Lion. We'll watch for it. Neptune out." Leo got back in the PA. "Everyone back on board, Larry?" "Yes, sir, Leo. Okay, Holiday, detonate your explosives now, knowing the man was listening. Holiday didn't respond, but a few seconds later, Leo felt the ship shake, and then saw a beautiful geyser of oxygen burst into flames from the direction that the explosives were set. The flames jumped about 100 meters into the sky, then there was an incoming signal.
What the devil was that?
Leo was about to answer.
Never mind. You can tell me later. Can you be ready in 5 minutes? The other ships are on their way. Be there in 5.
Leo glanced over his board quickly, then replied, We'll be ready.
See you then, Lion.
Leo made an announcement. All hands, prepare to take off. Lift off, time in 5 minutes. A few minutes later, Moon and Yoshi made their way to the cockpit, and Leo and Abe turned over the seats to them. Fia, how are things going down there? Leo asked, hoping things were looking better than his blank screens.
Decent, Cap. The supplemental engines are 50%, and all major hull breaches have been repaired, and the minor ones are being patched now.
Why aren't my screens showing anything? Leo said, tapping the engine monitor, which was dead.
Oh, I disconnected all the interior monitoring sensors and rerouted all sensors to handling and navigation only.
The only ones that work lead directly to Larry.
Sorry, Cap. Haven't had time to hook them back up yet.
Okay, got it. Leo leaned over and tapped Yoshi on the shoulder.
Hey, buddy, looks like you'll be flying instrument-free.
Yoshi turned slightly so Leo could see him smile.
This is not a problem.
Leo crossed himself, even though he wasn't Catholic, and said a quick prayer. Then they lifted off the deck of the Anger ever so slightly.
Anyone see our escort? Moon asked to everyone.
Abe signaled, and Leo gave him the thumbs up. Then a newly familiar voice came over the speakers.
Arrogant Lion, this is the Neptune of the Red Cougar. We want to let you know that there are 4 of us right behind you, and we are ready to escort you out of this very bad neighborhood.
There was a spontaneous cheer, and Leo could swear he heard Larry's voice too.
Cougar, we are ready to go. A little slow and a little shaky, but we are ready to go.
Chapter 62. 5 July, 2152. Admirable and acceptable, Captain Grant. And the Cougar escorted you the whole way back here?
Well, it did leave us for a while on the far side of the moon and went back to finish the fight. We watched the Anger drifting towards the small red dwarf in the system. But as you know, only one ship stayed to watch it be totally destroyed.
Yeah, well, thanks to you and your crew, De Clooney stated proudly.
Not to lessen your achievement, Captain, but from our intercepted messages gathered by the fleet intelligence, the Anger was on a training mission and contained only 1/6 of its typical complement.
Leo just nodded and looked out the window at the stars and smiled.
I guess we were just lucky.
Well, as your Thomas Jefferson once said, the harder I work, the luckier I get. And you have one of the hardest working crews I have ever seen, De Clooney said, smiling.
Well, Captain, I'll let you go and get some much needed rest. We shall talk tomorrow about the refit of the Lion and replacing your sharks.
Leo was surprised. Usually the senior captain would be systematically asking questions and gleaning details from him. But De Clooney simply stood up and walked him to the door. As Leo was about to shake the man's hand, the communicator chimed. De Clooney excused himself and answered it. Leo could not hear what was being said, but he did not like the tone of the captain's voice. Coming back, Leo could see the serious look on his face. His own expression must have been one of confusion and concern. That was the squadron commander. It seemed that 5 Alarian ships just broke into Defensive Line Wolf in Sector 5.
What happened? Leo asked automatically.
They were all destroyed, but not before they attacked a refueling point and did minor damage to it.
There's something else as well, De Clooney said, looking worried.
What, was someone hurt?
No, everyone is fine, no friendly casualties, but 3 ships had the markings of 1 family, the other 2 had markings of another, and they are all of the Corsair class. Same clan, though.
Leo was alarmed now. Corsairs usually worked alone, or possibly in teams of 2, and never with another family.
De Clooney stood there, stroking his chin thoughtfully.
There are also reports of other ships entering Wolf from different angles, but they have not been confirmed yet.
Then Leo put it together with a feeling of dread.
This can only mean one thing, Cap.
De Clooney nodded and spoke slowly.
The Alarian Empire, either in part or as a whole, has deemed this fleet a big enough threat to put eternal differences aside and start or encourage combined operations against us.
Leo nodded gravely.
Clooney shook his hand and put his hand on Leah's shoulder and said goodnight. Leah walked down the hall to his room, numbly. He went inside without turning on the light and sat on the bed. A few minutes later, Faith entered without knocking. She sat down next to him on the bed and snuggled up close to him. He put his arm around her, and she hugged him back. She spoke in almost a whisper. I prayed and hoped this day would never come. Leo stroked her soft blonde hand and whispered into her ear, Me too. I think there are some dark days ahead, she whispered, and Leo could hear the tears coming in her voice. The end.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Scouts Out by A. A. Foringer, as read by the author. This audio production, copyright 2015, all rights reserved. A new episode of Scouts Out is released every Saturday. To get an ebook version of this story, go to smashwords.com, where you can find other stories in the Outfitters universe. The story you have just listened to may contain slight variations from the original text due to translation from written word to spoken word. But overall, the story has not been changed. To contact Aaron, visit his blog at aaforinger.com or email him at aaforinger@gmail.com. He is also on Twitter as aaforinger. He craves your feedback, so get to the comm link of your choice and commence with the typing.
Hi everyone, this is Aaron Foringer. I hope you enjoyed the book, Scouts Out. It has been a long journey producing this audiobook. I did all the engineering myself, and as you can tell, all the reading myself. I'd like to thank Don and Gary, who did both theme music, and Don did an excellent job reading the introduction and the closing statement. Now, here's some bloopers. Sometimes I just couldn't get the words out.
Leo could make out the main landing bay, which would probably accept his ship for maintenance. After exchanging greetings, they talked for a few minutes. Worked off their hours already by reprogramming. The tank picked up speed, and slowly.
Sometimes I could get the words out, but it was the wrong name. I will never have my major characters have the same initials like Larry and Leo.
Larry had a lot of questions. And then he felt a warm tingling. Either until the first fleet ship was seen.
That showed a few snags and smudge marks.
These were mostly trusted members of his clan.
At 2 points, my dogs joined in on the podcast,
punching the appropriate buttons. How long do you get here?
Let me introduce myself. I'm Ambassador George William Clinton Jefferson. Quiet! And then, as it is with all humans, bodily functions pop up.
Okay, get up here then, Leo said, using his left foot to tap the...
So, hope you enjoy the little bloopers, and thanks for listening. And like Don says, please contact me and give me your feedback.
I'd really love to hear from anybody who's listened to all 20 episodes and what they think of the book. And if you enjoyed it, there's two more books out there in the Outfitters universe, and The Crew of the Arrogant Lion is back for a short appearance in the first Renegade Tales, and they are major players in the third Fleet Tale coming out sometime this winter, hopefully January or February. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. And as you can hear, the dogs are whining and are tired of being locked in the room when I record. And if I ever want to do a podcast again, somebody take a 2x4 to the back of my head, because this has been a lot of work.